Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you there's nothing to worry about. We've got a good show for Wednesday. I know sometimes you think we're just going to mail it in on a Wednesday, but no, we put together a good show for today, and this hour is no exception. It's a very strange time to be a human being. I do not know how it is for the rest of the animal kingdom, but for human beings, this is a very strange time. It's very stressful, several months to start the spring off, and then it got worse. Now we've got, in addition to a disease, we've got unrest and anarchy. It has a slight feeling of the Four Horsemen, one of which is pestilence and one of which is war. I don't want to make light of it, but I also don't want to be too heavy about it with that reference to the Book of Revelation. But having a greater and greater sense that this the sense of anxiety that people are experiencing has costs in itself, and they are spiritual and physical costs that people are paying. And so we have a wonderful guest this hour to help us talk through that. If you have questions, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Dr. Greg Popcheck. He and his wife Lisa host the popular More to Life call-in program, where they actually provide a great deal of help to folks navigating the waters of family life. More to Life airs weekdays at 10 a.m. on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. You can also find Dr. Popcheck at the organization he founded at CatholicCounselors.com. The author of more than 20 books, including Worried.
Unworried.
That's how stressful this time is.
You used to be worried.
Yeah,
now
you're
unworried.
Dr. Yeah. Greg Popcheck, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Cy. You forgot about murder hornets, by the way.
Oh, I did. I forgot the murder hornets.
You forgot them. That was just like a filler episode. It was like, you know, a guest director came in, shot a couple of episodes of that, and then they moved out. We just didn't follow that story up at all.
Yeah, not all the plagues are of the same significance, but we seem to be getting all of them. What do you say? I mean, I think I see, I have to say, I see particularly young adults who maybe this is the first time around through really tough times. They're struggling. Quite a few I've talked to genuinely struggling with what is happening.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a first time around for all of us for most of this. This is pretty unprecedented. But the reality is, these are scary times, and there's a lot going on in the world that's anxiety producing. You know, the subtitle of the book, Unworried, is A Life Without Anxiety. And you could think, in the face of all the things that are going on in the world, that's, you know, kind of a joke. You know, how can you live a life without anxiety? One of the points I like to make right up front is that there's a difference between a concern, having a concern, and having anxiety.
Okay.
If you have a concern, you're able to identify the problem, gather your resources, identify support, and make a plan for addressing the thing that's in front of you. When you have anxiety, you just zero in on the problem and you say, oh my gosh, there's a problem. Oh my gosh, it's still there. I should do something about that problem, but I can't do anything about that problem. But I have to do something, but I can't do it. And then you just spin out. And that's the difference. The point isn't that we can only feel peaceful when the world is at peace or when our lives are at peace.
Right.
The point is that we have to shift from that attitude of anxiety where we're so focused in on the problem that we can't see that there are resources, we can't see that there's support, and we can't imagine a possible plan, and instead focus back in on our concerns that allow us to identify the problem and see it for what it is, but also be able to bring that problem to God, gather our resources, gather our support, and make a plan to address it.
If you'd like to talk about anxiety, and if you'd like to talk about a response to anxiety that is informed both by the latest science and by all that the Lord has given us in our Catholic tradition, Dr. Greg Popcheck, a great person to talk to. And the number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Talking to one of my young adult children who has struggled, actually, with anxiety and depression, he told me, I'm not watching the news. He goes, I know that it'll just upset me. I don't, it's not worth me taking that risk. What do you think of that strategy?
No, actually, that's actually a perfectly valid point to take, or, you know, tack to take. I think that, you know, we all need to identify how much input we can really handle. And, and the fact is, you know, there didn't always used to be a 24-hour news cycle. I know for most people's lives it has been, but there doesn't need to be a 24-hour news cycle in your life.
Yeah.
It's fine to check in periodically, see what's going on, you know, see what the local news says you need to be concerned about, and then turn it off because you can get on with your life. You know, so, I mean, there are some people who enjoy the news and who find it, you know, useful to check in like that. But for most people don't need to do that. And in fact, for many people, it's detrimental to their mental health.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. 888-318-7884, the number. Social media, too, I imagine, which is kind of an amplifier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I turned on just to see what was going on, CNN, the other night, and the reporter is saying, it was in New York City, the police are just decimating this crowd. I thought, decimating? That means literally killing every 10th person. There's no way that they're decimating this crowd. But I mean, but you get that language. You get this very excited language.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, like I was, you know, alluding to the idea of a 24-hour news cycle. You've got to keep up the energy. You've got to keep up the drama in order to generate, you know, ratings and
right.
viewers.
Right.
And so, you know, that's why I'm saying, you know, you don't personally need to have a 24-hour news cycle in your life. It's enough to check into the news once a day, every other day, and even just strictly limit yourself to local news to figure out how this is directly affecting you and what you need to do. You don't need to be plugged in that much. It doesn't matter to you on that level. And so being able to set up appropriate boundaries for yourself that let you know, you know, how much of that input you can take is a perfectly appropriate response. In fact, you know, when the pandemic first struck, the APA, the American Psychological Association, came out with recommendations for what they were calling COVID stress syndrome. And one of the things was stepping back from the news media and social media if you found that when you spent any time on there, it was ratcheting up your anxiety levels.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. We'll go to callers very shortly. We just have two lines open right now, 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest. Let us go to our faith then, because I actually have heard several people say things along the lines of, I'm having trouble praying. And you would think, I want to respond to this with prayer, but somehow the ratcheting up of anxiety is actually interfering even with the thing that might address the anxiety.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think that, you know, in order to pray, a lot of times we need to learn how to quiet ourselves, right? And anxiety makes us feel anything but quiet. And so often we feel like we can't pray because we can't get ourselves to that place where our mind stops spinning. What I'd say to somebody who's in that position is to use that in their prayer. You know, to not just think that they can only pray when they can be perfectly quiet, but to bring that anxiety to God, to say, you know, Lord, my mind is spinning. I can't get my head to stop, you know, kind of going over these things and working through these different concerns that I have. I just ask you to bring that peace into this situation and help me respond to all the things in my life in a way that glorifies you and helps me be the person you want me to be in the face of it, right? So you don't have to get yourself to a place where you can be perfectly calm. God wants you to bring all the stuff to him, even the messy stuff, right? And that's the whole point of prayer, is to let him help you make sense out of it all, as opposed to coming to him already calm, already peaceful, already put together, and say, look at me, Lord, how wonderful I am. I'm presenting myself to you now.
Right. That is an actual handicap to prayer, to think I got to get it together so I can pray.
Or even, you know, the other distractions, you use other distractions when, you know, because sometimes people will say, well, gosh, you know, I can't pray because that baby is crying, or I can't pray because that noise is in the background, you know. Pray for that baby, you know, pray for the person driving that truck that's making all that noise in the background. Pray for, you know, the Holy Spirit is bringing those things into your attention, and you can incorporate into your prayer life to bring God into what's going on right there in that moment. And the more you do that, the more God actually allows you to find peace in the middle of all the crazy, instead of treating prayer like it has to be your escape from that.
See, that's why we have Dr. Popchak on. And we've got a bunch of folks on the line. We have to take a quick break, and then we'll get right to your questions for Dr. Greg Popchak right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer, Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Dr. Greg Popcheck, a good man to talk to in trying times. These are trying times, and you're welcome to talk to him. 888-318-7884. We'll start out with Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota, actually, watching on Facebook Live. Hope all is well there in Minnesota. Thomas, your question for Dr. Popcheck. Thomas?
Hello?
Hi, Thomas.
Well, I can barely hear you. I think this connection is a little spotty. Hi. So, it was just basically that I struggle with hope. I mean, I don't struggle with hope, but I struggle with despair sometimes, and I have moments of both. And I think that's related to, well, I don't know how to put it, really. I mean, sometimes I'm sure I'm saved, and other times I'm sure I'm damned, and I was just wondering.
Oh, you go vacillating between the hope of salvation and the despair that you are not saved, Thomas. Okay. Dr. Greg?
Well, and Thomas, I'm sorry, it says on the board here that you're struggling with paranoid schizophrenia. Is that sort of the root problem there?
Well, it's not. That's what I was diagnosed with, yes. But, You know, I'm not sure that that's true. It's just, I'm not sure.
Okay, and are you on medication at this point for that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and are you in counseling as well? You see somebody regularly?
Yes, I was baptized and confirmed into the church. I went to Catholic grade school for 12.
Oh, sorry, Thomas, I said counseling. Are you in counseling?
I'm sorry?
Are you in counseling as well as on medication?
No, I'm not in counseling.
Okay, that's going to be really important because even though schizophrenia is largely a biochemical disease of the nervous system, being able to have good cognitive behavioral therapy enables you to start sorting through those thoughts in a more systematic way so that you can avoid those extremes. You know, what you're talking about here is vacillating between, you know, this extreme feeling that you're damned or that extreme feeling that everything's fine, instead of being able to look at that more realistically. That's called polarized thinking. And polarized thinking is one of those it's called a cognitive distortion. It's a bad thinking habit that has you seeing everything in very black and white terms. Now, that's a common problem for somebody who's struggling with paranoid schizophrenia, but working with a cognitive behavior therapist in addition to the psychiatrist who's prescribing medication for you is going to help you begin to not just think in those black and white terms, but be able to see the gray, to be able to recognize that, you know, yes, we're broken and yes, we're sinful, but God's mercy is infinitely greater and that you can rest in that mercy. And a simple practice, for example, that St. Ignatius of Loyola recommended was that when we are feeling that sense of condemnation, to begin by rooting ourselves in God's love and mercy. So actually sitting down with a notebook and writing down the times that you have felt God's love, writing down even the things that God did today to show you that he loves you. And if you're saying, well, gosh, I don't think God did anything to show me that he loves me. If anything went right in your day, that was God showing you that he loved you. Because the reality is, in a sinful, broken world, nothing is supposed to go right. And so anything that does go well, that is God saying, Thomas, I love you. And it's good to write those things down and praise God for them. The more we're able to experience that sense of gratitude, the more we're able to increase that peace that comes from living in that grace. And so even though you're struggling with a chronic illness and you need to stay on your medication, I would really encourage you to get hooked up with a good cognitive behavior therapist. Talk to your psychiatrist about that, because you're going to need ongoing support to maintain that balance instead of giving into those polarized thoughts that you're just struggling with right now. So that's your next step.
God bless you, Thomas. Many people praying for you, I'm sure, now, having heard your call. Thank you for the call. We're talking about the anxiety of the moment and dealing with anxiety from a perspective both of science and faith with Dr. Greg Popcheck. 888-318-7884, the number. Rita in New Jersey, listening on the EWTN app. You are next. Rita, your question for Dr. Popcheck.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I had a concern that as of a few hours, it turned into an anxiety. I made reservations to visit my grandkids in another state before the pandemic. And when one kid, I canceled. And then I prayerfully discerned it was okay to go, so I renewed the reservations. And I'm flying out tomorrow, and I'm tracking, and I'm getting more anxious because of the riot. Really,
okay, Rita. I don't know what's happening with our call quality, but it's not very good. So I'm just going to encapsulate that. You're flying tomorrow to see the grandkids. You had your anxiety about the disease controlled, but now we've got the riots. Did you want Dr. Popcheck to respond with some ideas about dealing with this? I mean, multiple causes of anxiety. Is that about flying tomorrow? Is that what you're looking for, Rita, or was it something else?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you, Rita.
So is it possible for me to ask a follow-up? Is she still there? I know the quality is not great, but let me ask her. So Rita, when you think about these different things, the virus, about the rioting, what about that? I mean, you might say, well, gosh, that's certainly enough to be upset about. But when you think about it personally, what are you afraid of exactly? Like when you think about this, what starts to go through your head? What's the story that goes through your head?
I am having a hard time hearing. I'm sorry. Did you ask me what my objective was?
No, I said when you think about all the things that could go wrong, what's the story that starts going through your head about it? So, for example, do you feel like maybe you're out of control? Do you feel, you know, do you hear yourself saying in your head something like, what if this horrible thing happens, or what if that horrible thing, like those kinds of things? What's the, when you think about all the things that could go wrong when you're planning your trip, what's the story that's going through your head about all of that?
I'm thinking I'm landing at 9:00 tomorrow night, and maybe there'll be a protest in the city I'm flying into. And then when I rent a car on another day to go drive down and see my grandkids, I'm thinking, will there be protests in their city then?
Okay. All right, so there's kind of that. Now, what you're talking about here is what we call catastrophizing. There's a lot of what-if thinking. You know, I have a friend of mine who talks about how she goes from zero to widow in 60 seconds if her husband's late from work. You know, that's catastrophizing. It's that kind of, well, what if this horrible thing happens, or what if that horrible thing happens? And that's a cognitive distortion, like I was talking about with Thomas. It's a lie that kind of goes through our head that distorts the truth. And spiritually speaking, again, St. Ignatius of Loyola would call that a desolation. It's a lie that Satan whispers in our spiritual ear to take our eyes off of what God really wants us to focus on. So my suggestion to you, when you're kind of thinking, well, what if this happens or what if that happens, it's important to do some what's called grounding. You kind of take a deep breath and you recognize, I'm safe now, I'm healthy now, I have a good mind that God has given me to respond to the problems that are in front of me. Let me deal with the thing that's in front of me right now. So, you know, do I have my boarding pass? You know, do I have my things packed? You know, refocus yourself on what you need to do in this moment, and, you know, give that future to God. Now, I know that's easy to say, but the reality is grace is in the situation, not in your imagination. right? So we sometimes create these imaginary problems, and I realize that these things could happen, right? But they're not happening right now. So those, the protests or these horrible things, they're happening in your imagination. And there's no grace in that, because you don't need grace to live in your imagination. You need grace to live in your present. So, you know, bringing that present moment to God and saying, you know, Lord, help me make sure that I've packed everything. Let me go through my luggage here and make sure that I've got that. Let me, help me to remember to bring everything I need to bring with me. You know, let me attend to what's in front of me right now. And by grounding yourself in this present moment and bringing God into that present moment, you're allowing that grace to flow into the situation so that you can experience peace, as opposed to living in a future imaginary situation where everything's falling apart. It's a little trick that you can do. I do talk more about other strategies that you can use longer term in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, but this will at least get you through the trip tomorrow, Rita.
Okay, Rita.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And that crazy phone connection, 888-318-7884. I know we got another caller on the line, but I think we're still having call issues. So 888-318-7884, the number if you'd like to give it a try. Our guest is Dr. Greg Popcheck. He is the host with his wife, Lisa, of More to Life. With
Wife for Life.
Wife for I hope so. I would hope so.
On More to Life, yes.
And you can hear that mornings on the worldwide, the global EWTN Catholic Radio Network. You're also the founder of the Pastoral
Solutions
Institute, and that's at CatholicCounselors.com.
Yes, sir.
So just real quick, before we go to another caller, what do you do at the Pastoral Pastoral Solutions Institute.
There you go. Yeah, CatholicCounselors.com. You know, since 1999, we've been providing Catholic integrated telecounseling services. I know a lot of people have become familiar with the idea of telemental health, telecounseling now since the pandemic. But we've been doing that since 1999 with Catholics all over the world. I have a staff of 11 pastoral counselors who are all fully licensed, but also trained in pastoral theology. So we integrate both the contemporary insights from counseling psychology and the timeless wisdom of our Catholic faith to help people develop truly comprehensive solutions to their personal, emotional, and relational struggles. So, the whole point of the Pastoral Solutions Institute is to help connect faithful people with faithful resources through counseling, through telecounseling. So folks can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com.
888-318-7884. The number up next is Ryan in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross there in Buffalo. Ryan, your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
Hi, can you hear me all right?
We can, Ryan. That's actually kind of a nice change for this hour. We can hear you just fine.
Look at that.
All right, great. Okay, so the question I have is, where's the line with these psychological issues between psychological disorder and demonic influence? Are they usually analogous, kind of the same thing, or are they very separate things? Just because, I've noticed a lot in Scripture and, old stories of the saints, it's usually a lot of the stories, there seems to be things that could be viewed as mental disorders, being described as demonic influence. And I guess I'm wondering, how we distinguish those things from each other.
Okay. Dr.
Yeah, thanks. And you notice in Scripture as well, for example, that a lot of physical disorders were attributed to demonic influence or to sin. So part of that is an incomplete vision of science and how the physical world works. So there are sort of two sides to the answer to this question. Okay, every single one of us, to whatever degree we are experiencing emotional problems or not, are affected by temptation constantly. I know it's a little silly to imagine it this way, but the old kind of cartoon idea of an angel on one shoulder and the devil on another, the reality is the Holy Spirit is constantly whispering in our spiritual ear, counseling us, giving us consolations that help us draw closer to God no matter what our circumstances are and be the person that God wants us to be, while at the same time Satan is whispering in the other spiritual ear trying to pull us away from God and whispering lies into our minds that if we attend to them and don't combat them, will lead us away from God and the person that God wants us to be. That's why in 2 Corinthians 10:5, St. Paul talks about demolishing every argument that stands against the knowledge of God and holding every thought captive at obedience to Christ. So there's a certain degree to which we all need to practice that kind of good, you know, to use an old term, mental hygiene, that allows us to be on top of those thoughts that pass through our mind and to test those spirits and say, you know, is this thought that's going through my mind right now from God and leading me closer to God and the person God wants me to be? Or is this thought pulling me away from God and the person that God wants me to be by leading me into a sense of powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, self-indulgence? And so, you know, by being aware of those thoughts, both psychologically and spiritually, we can practice good psychological health and also good spiritual health at the same time.
All right, Ryan?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I guess I'm also, if you have a moment to talk about this,
I'll tell you what, Ryan, we're having trouble hearing you again. We're having trouble with sound again, and we got to take a quick break. Hang on. I will let you have a follow-up with Dr. Pupchak when we come back, and we'll try to get that sound on that call back up to top quality. Dr. Greg Pupchak is our guest. 888-318-7884 is our number. It's Anxious Times. If you'd like some help with that anxiety, give a call.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Why does everyone need to be saved? Does the Bible say we're saved by faith alone and not by works? What does the Catholic Church teach about heaven, hell, and purgatory? In 20 Answers Salvation, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, laying out the beautiful story of how God calls us out of sin, justifies us, makes us holy, and leads us to everlasting life with Him. 20 Answers Salvation is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. All right, Robert, I hope the sound is better, but do your best. Just give us the question just real quick, and we'll see what Dr. Pupchak can do with it, because we're having sound trouble. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, all right, hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, so good.
Basically what I'm wondering is just, and I'm wondering this because, like, you know, I was diagnosed with, like, OCD in the past, and I, like, was, you know, I worked with a counselor, and, you know, it got better, but, like, one thing I've always wondered, like, to what extent, can those, like, mental disorders, like, be, like, attributed as something demonic? Like, is that an irrational, like, thought to have, like, that those
yes.
sorts of things might have demonic influence?
Right. You know, so the there is spiritual influence that I was describing in the last segment there that would apply to everyone, but it would not be fair to say that a disorder like OCD, for example, was demonic. In fact, even the thought about that, if it's an intrusive or bothersome thought, might be a symptom of the OCD. So, you know, I actually talk about this a bit in Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And when the church investigates, for example, the possibility of demonic influence, they make sure that the person who is being considered for an exorcism has gotten both the proper medical and psychological evaluation to rule out all possible medical and psychological problems before they'll even consider direct demonic influence. So there are spiritual influences, you know, that we all encounter. But in terms of demonic influences causing specific mental disorders, that would not be the case. And so it's important to really work with a good, faithful mental health professional to help you kind of sort out, you know, which of those symptoms are really the direct result of, for example, that, you know, with OCD, there's a part of your brain called the right caudate nucleus. Okay, it's in your limbic system, and it's the part of the brain that's responsible for this sort of sick feeling in your gut that says there's something wrong here. But because that's part of the lower brain, the higher brain is like looking around saying, I don't see anything wrong. What's wrong? But your lower brain says, but yeah, there's a problem. And the higher brain says, no, I don't see anything. And then they start fighting with each other. And the brain doesn't like to be at war with itself, right? So then pretty soon it's sort of like a parent who's got a kid who's bugging them and like just gives them some busy work to do. So the higher brain is like, yeah, you know, you should worry about washing your hands. That'll make you feel better. You know, and it just kind of creates this sort of mythical solution to resolve the tension between the lower brain and the higher brain. But what's really happening there, there's literally a brain cramp, like a pinched nerve. Like you can get in your leg or anywhere else, you can get it in that part of the brain called the right caudate nucleus, which gives you the feeling of something very wrong, even though there isn't really anything wrong. So it is an actual physical problem to experience that sense of guilt and anxiety over something with OCD. But it's like any other cramp, the way to do it is to kind of breathe through it, and the obsession will go away in maybe 15, 20 minutes if you're able to kind of breathe through it in a particular kind of way. And you're a good CBT therapist can help get you through that. But I do talk about that in Unworried as well. But to go back to your question, no, it would not be fair to say that it's a demonic influence that causes a specific mental disorder.
Thanks, Ryan. And thank you, Dr. Popchak. I was going to mention the right cognate thingy.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if you would... I'm glad you brought it up, because I didn't want to have to bring it up for you.
Thank you.
888-318-7884, our number. We're talking anxiety with the man who can help. We're coming at anxiety from a position of Catholic faith and a long, long history of Catholic teaching, and also with all the best tools of science as well. Let's go to Matt in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Matt, your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Hi, Dr. Greg. First, thank you for Just Married and what's the name of the baby that they call it? Then Comes Baby.
Yeah, thank you.
They were huge helps to us.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for that, Matt. And hey, listen, just I'll throw this out there since you mentioned you're Just Married. If you come over to our social media on Facebook at More to Life, you'll find out more about the Catholic Marriage Summit that Lisa and I are speaking at, and that might give you some more tools too. But thank you for the plug for Just Married and Then Comes Baby. But what's your question for us?
So I know we're talking about anxiety and everything. Personally, I don't struggle with anxiety, and I know I'm not alone in this, but like, rather than reacting with anxiety to things like the government shutting down, businesses and churches and all that, and then events with all the protests and riots and businesses closing because of that and people leaving the businesses, I don't feel anxiety when I hear about these reports. I really just react with anger. It's like a scoffing, like, oh, here we go again. And I know that's not a good reaction. I see it in other people, and it's not particularly attractive in them, so I'm sure that I don't make it look any better. So I was wondering, some practical advice for...
Can I ask just as a follow-up to that? I mean, are you feeling... Even with these things aside, would you say that you're feeling generally pretty stressed out overall, or is it mostly just about this?
No, I'm a pretty well-stressed kind of guy. I'm a high school teacher, so the last couple of months have actually been, kind of calm for me. Yeah, I've had to do some teaching online, but, generally my work hasn't been exceptionally stressful.
Okay. Well, that's good. I just ask that because a lot of times whenever we have that reaction, it's because it just feels like, you know, the news is just one more thing that I have to handle that's sort of out of my control. But I'm glad to hear that you feel you don't feel that way. What I would say is let's talk about what anger really is. Okay, so, you know, all of our emotions are actually part of our body, right? God gives us our body so that it can work for our good. He gave us our emotions as part of our body to work for our good as well. So even though sin has disrupted the way our body is supposed to work and the way our emotions are supposed to work, at their core, they're supposed to be doing good things. So what is anger supposed to be doing in God's divine plan? Well, it's an emotional reaction to an injustice, right? Anger is an appropriate reaction to seeing something that's unjust and not the way it should be. And it's meant to emotionally engage us so that we can do something about it, so that we can create more order. And so when we talk about righteous anger, right, versus the sin of wrath, righteous anger is when we have a response to something that is appropriate, proportionate, and productive, right? So if my anger motivates me to do something about that injustice that's proportionate to the problem, that's appropriate, that produces some good thing, then that's righteous anger, right? And that's a godly thing. If, on the other hand, I have a response to my anger that's inappropriate, unproductive, and disproportionate, you know, then that's the sin of wrath, because basically I'm just pouring gas on the fire and spreading it all over the place. So, you know, it's natural to feel angry about unjust things, and there's a lot of injustice in the world right now, and we're seeing it spread out in the 24-hour news cycle all the time. You know, the question is, the problem isn't how do you stop feeling anger, it's how do you express that anger in a way that helps to produce greater order and peace in your life. You know, so what I would suggest to you is that anger isn't so much a call to action as it is a call to prayer. So when you're feeling that angry response to the news, to just bring it to God and say, Lord, you know, this is on my heart. You know, these people that I'm seeing suffering are on my heart. These things that are going wrong in the world are on my heart. Help me to know how you want to respond to it in my corner of the world so that I can be an instrument of peace, so that I can be an instrument of your goodness and your grace. And maybe God's going to call your attention to something you need to do for your wife or for your kid or for your students. Maybe God's going to ask you to bring some greater order into something that's going on in your life. But I can tell you that once you kind of consecrate that anger to God and ask him to guide you in expressing it in a way that's appropriate and proportionate and productive, he's going to help you connect to whatever's going on in your life that he wants to bring greater order through you out of. But that anger initially is just that recognition that there's injustice. So then we need to bring it to God and say, you know, Lord, help me know what you want me to do about the injustice that I'm reacting to in my own life.
Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest. Among his 20 or so books is the book Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And it is not a false promise. You can find that wherever you get your books, I'm sure. Dr. Greg Popcheck is also the host with his wife, Lisa, of More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck each morning on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Up next, Omar, here in Pomona, California, watching on YouTube. Omar, your question for Dr. Popcheck.
Hey, guys. So I don't consider myself to be like a particularly anxious person. However, lately I have been feeling anxiety, and I know that it is because like when I get nervous, I get like sweaty, like armpits. Like, I don't know if that's like normal or what, but
yeah.
So I'm a cradle Catholic, right? And I used to go to church a lot as a little kid with my family, and then as a family we kind of stopped. Most of us still identify as Catholics, but since I moved out, I've been going to Mass by myself, and really since COVID I've been consuming a lot of Catholic media, such as Catholic Answers videos on YouTube and stuff like that. So I really try to tell my family how I try to discuss like how important it should be, our faith should be as part of our life, and I get pretty anxious when I meet resistance, and I don't know how to overcome the anxiety because it might be hindering my ability to resonate with them. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, no, it makes sense. Let me ask. So, is there something specific, like when you say you get resistance from them, like what are you guys talking about, and what kind of resistance are you getting? I just want to kind of get a sense of the quality of the relationship here.
Well, Okay, cool. So I can give an example of
perfect. Yeah,
when I
ahead.
Speak with my sister, she doesn't have that much faith in the church. She like openly disagrees with a lot of things that the church is adamant about. Mm-hmm. For example, I was discussing abortion with her the other day, and I was trying
just
my
randomly
best.
Or because she was considering an abortion or has had an abortion or just sort of as a concept.
No, it's kind of like an abstract concept to her because okay. To my knowledge, I don't think she's ever been pregnant.
That's
but
fine.
She just
okay.
feels really strongly against what I believe and what okay. the church believes. So
let me jump in, Omar, because I that's what I really wanted to get at, because the anxiety there. I mean, look, it's a good thing to be able to have, you know, faithful, intelligent conversations with people about these kinds of topics. So I'm not saying don't have these discussions, okay? But what I am going to say is that when you're talking with somebody who's not a believer, right, even though she was raised in the church, she's not practicing now, she's not really a believer in that sense, it can be very easy to reduce the faith to this sort of intellectual exercise. And I think the anxiety that you're feeling around that, it may be in part that it's sort of missing the point, that what she really needs to do is experience God as a person and experience God's love for her, not to get into intellectual debates about particular points of doctrine or social issues, but to really talk, you know, let her talk to you about her life and what's going on in her life, and be really concerned and interested in what's going on in her life. And when she, you know, complains about something, you might say, you know what, I'm so sorry you're going through that. That really breaks my heart. I'm going to pray for you. And in fact, you know, Lord, please bless my sister and help her to know how much you love her and be there with her. Boom. Amen. That was a 3-second prayer, but you brought God into the conversation and allowed her to experience him as a real person who cares about her real life, instead of it being this sort of intellectual thing that she's allowed to keep at arm's distance. And because you're feeling like, you know, if I can't convince her about this, then she won't accept that God is real and that God matters. But the only way to allow somebody to experience that God is real and God matters is to let them have a personal experience of God. And the only way to do that is by being present to your sister and loving her and empathizing with her, and then praying for those little moments where you can bring God into it too, like I just gave that example. So, you know, it's okay to back off of some of those arguments and focus more on just loving her and being present to her and bringing God into the moment with her.
Omar, I'm going to say thank you because we have to head to the break. Thank you so much for your call. We've still got Dr. Greg Popchak with us, so if those are on the line, stay on the line. We'll take this very quick break. We'll come right back with more discussion of these anxious times with Dr. Popchak right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
She is one of the most beloved saints of all time, honored as the Saint of the Little Way.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thérèse of Lisieux entered the Carmelite convent of Lisieux in 1888 and survived only 9 more years. Still, her extraordinary holiness and prayer life prompted her superiors to have her write an autobiography, The Story of a Soul. It became a spiritual classic.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest. Our number is 888-318-7884. I don't want to go the whole program, though, and not recommend the new book, Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. You might be wanting to spend some time with Jesus these days, and this is a really good book just for that. The chapters are brief, digestible chapters on actual conversations and parables that Jesus had, and when you or gave, and when you think about who he is, his words are just endlessly precious, and there's very few people who can open them up for you like Father Sebastian Walsh. So we do have a deal on it. You just put in the promo code LAMB, L A M B, But make sure you use a silent B. When you check out, you get 25% off of this book at shop.catholic.com. Just put in the word LAMB, L-A-M-B, at shop.catholic.com and get 25% off right now on Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. As I said, our guest, Dr. Greg Popchak, and up next is Rick in Newport, Kentucky, listening on 740 AM Sacred Heart Radio. Rick in Newport, Kentucky, your question, please.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Doctor, I had a question in regards to the presence of the evil one and spirits, whether it be oppression or suppression or some kind of presence, how much and what the levels could possibly be, how much should we fear these levels or how much should we fear this presence, mm-hmm. and maybe a person may be putting too much stress on the presence or maybe not, actually feels the presence of evil and the evil one, or is it sometimes a psychological presence? Prayer life is very, very good, two or three times a day, and it's not just for good luck's sake. It's not a good luck charm. Rosary every day and a deep prayer life sometimes, even almost to a point of ecstasy.
Okay. Well, look, so I'm going to share with you my favorite story about... Sounds weird. My favorite story about evil.
That does sound weird.
So St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney, he's the patron saint of pastors. This is maybe an apocryphal story, but it's a cool story, so we're going to go with it. So St. John Vianney, actually, this is absolutely true. He used to be tormented by Satan. Satan would call him names, right? Basically, we call him Potato Eater, which was basically calling him a peasant, you know, a backwoods hillbilly kind of character, right? He'd insult St. John Vianney. St. John Vianney would experience physical manifestations of Satan, where, like, you know, he would come down in the middle of the night, and you know, Satan would be throwing pots around in his kitchen. Well, you know, one night he woke up to hear that sound of, like, pots being thrown around the house and things smashing, and he went down to see what was going on, and there in the middle of his kitchen, in the middle of the floor, he saw Satan, and he said, "Oh, it's you," and he went back to bed. And that's the response that we have to the presence of evil, to not ignore it, to not deny it, to not pretend it's not there, but to not be glamorized by it, to not be fascinated by it, but to be, because the Christian walk is not about running away from evil. It's about running into the arms of God's love. And so when you've experienced that sense of the presence of evil, that sense of oppression, that sense of ill ease that comes from kind of thinking about the demonic, I'd really encourage you to turn your eyes toward God and say, "Lord, fill me with your love right now." Because what's happening in those moments, I think the devil is trying to pull us away from that experience of God's love. He wants, you know, he doesn't want us to be confirmed in that sense of love and God's presence and God's grace. So he wants to kind of fascinate us with this kind of scary nightmare over here that kind of draws our attention away from God. And so in those times, it's just especially important to close our eyes, to take that deep breath, and to look at God and just say, "Lord, fill me with your love. Help me to know your presence and to be an instrument of your grace in this moment." And you kind of, you know, if you have to say anything to Satan, you do what St. John Vianney said, and you say, "Oh, it's you." And then you go back to rest in the arms of God's love.
Rick, thank you very much. I'm going to move to Ray in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest. And Ray, your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I like many normal Americans, just watching the news and watching all these things that go on and trying to keep my daily life as normal as possible. And I see people like Nancy Pelosi, who supports abortion, hold up the Bible and act as if she's more Catholic than the rest of us. And at the same time, the bishop in her area, I think his name is Wilton Gregory, denounces President Trump for being Christian and sitting in front of the church that was on fire the other night and talking about, you know, the goodness of the human being and Christ is the thing that brings us all together. Yet Nancy Pelosi stands up there and spews lies about abortion. And that causes me such consternation, because the church is doing nothing to denounce
her voice. Nobody.
Ray, I'm going to let, and I apologize for this. I really don't want to cut you off just because you're saying things that some might find controversial. It's just that we can't hear that well. So, but I think you heard what Ray is saying.
Sounds not great, but I got it. It's just basically the idea that there are, you know, he sees things in the news that are especially related to the church and politics, and it's giving him this sense of anxiety and frustration because, you know, he just sees it as an injustice and he's not sure what to do about it, and that causes him, in his word, consternation or anxiety. So let's talk about, you know, kind of where to go with that. And again, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the program, in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I talk about how anxiety is kind of the result of looking at a problem and saying, I have to do something about this, but there's nothing I can do. But I have to do something, but there's nothing I can do. But I have to do something, but there's nothing I can do. But I have to do something, and then you sort of spin out, right? And sometimes we look at things that we genuinely can't do anything about. You know, I mean, you know, converting a politician that I don't have any relationship with, you know, that's beyond my power. But there are things that God is asking me to do that are within my power to address that particular injustice, whether it's that injustice of abortion or the injustice of, you know, you name it, racism, whatever it is. And to be able to bring that anxiety, that emotion to God and say, look, Lord, I am experiencing this frustration, this anxiety, this anger, whatever it is, help me to know how to respond to this in a way that will glorify you, work for the good of those around me, and help me be the person that God, that you are calling me to be. You know, what is it that you're calling my attention to? You know, again, going back to this whole idea of consolations and desolations and Satan's involvement in things, you know, if you read the Screwtape Letters, which is a book by C.S. Lewis, it's a fictional account of a sort of a superior demon who's writing letters to a trainee demon about how to be a good demon, right? And I can just imagine, you know, Screwtape writing to Wormwood, his nephew, saying, you know, if Ray has to be concerned about issues pertaining to the gospel, let him be concerned about things he can't do anything about, right? And that's what Satan is doing in right now to you. He's getting you so worked up about things that you can't control that he's taking your eyes off of there's something right in front of you that God wants you to look at, but Satan doesn't want you to deal with. So by bringing that anxiety to God and saying, Lord, I'm so frustrated right now by what I'm seeing, help me to know how to respond to that. That's going to invite the Holy Spirit into that moment to help bring your eyes to something you can do that's going on in your life that Satan doesn't want you to see. Focus on that.
Ray, you know what? Ray, you got time for a follow-up. Did you want to follow up with Dr. Popchak?
I would love a follow-up, yeah.
Go ahead, just real quick, Ray, so just because we can't hear you that well.
I guess the thing is I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, but the point is that she stands on a platform before all.
Yeah, but Ray, you're not okay. But you don't understand what I'm saying because you're going right back to it. Let me stop focusing on the things I can do in my own life. Let me concentrate on this thing I can't control and get all worked up about that, because that's what I mean. We can become addicted to that, and that's what Satan wants you to do. I understand that there's a real injustice there, and if you bring this to prayer and God asks you to write a letter or an email, a charitable letter or email in response to that, I mean, that's the most you can really do. You can pray for those people that you're concerned about. That's all great, but I can guarantee you that there is something that's going on in your life right now that Satan does not want you to look at, and he is making this big angry consternation thing out there to distract you from doing what he wants you to do right, what God wants you to do right now. That's what you need to be focusing on. Thanks, Ray. I appreciate the call.
Ray, thank you very, very much. I don't think there are 10 people in the world who don't, in point of fact, actually know the Catholic Church's teaching on abortion. I mean, we're the most famous people in the world for teaching that abortion is wrong. So I sometimes think that, yeah, there's all this, you know, flack thrown up here and there, but the Catholic message about abortion is clear, and it does get out, and people know it.
Intellectually, that's absolutely true.
Well, yeah.
It's the personal connection piece, like we were talking about with Omar earlier, right? You know, we can turn abortion and other important social issues, whether they're like racism or anything else, into an intellectual debate or a political debate instead of an opportunity to bring Christ into that moment to encounter that person's heart and soften their heart to his love and his grace.
Yeah.
And as long as we allow our faith to just be a political or an intellectual exercise, it's always easy for people to keep that stuff at arm's length. But when we bring God into that moment and allow him to experience, allow them to experience his love, that's what softens their heart to the doctrines and the teachings.
Dr. Greg Popchek has been our guest. You should check out his books. He's got a whole bunch of them. The one we have discussed this hour, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Also, if you are in search of good Catholic counseling, you can check out CatholicCounselors.com. And if you're in search of a really good Catholic radio program, and you've already used up both hours of this one, you can go look for More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek on EWTN. You can get the podcast version, or you can listen live each morning on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Dr. Greg Popchek, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Si. A lot of fun.
And thanks to everybody. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here for 2 hours, Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.